Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to the Six Man Convo. I am your host, the Six Man, K Styles. And to my stage left, as y'all already know him as Senator Palpatine, aka Mad Mike Sports.
Right.
All rise. Court is now adjourned. You are now about to commence conversation. So as y'all seen in today's screen, we have a couple of topics. Wait, before we do that, Mike, how do we introduce the people? Is the what? The real roll call, y'all. All right. At today's roll call, we're going to kick this off the right one. We got Big Ant in the building. Shut the hell up, man. Ain't do nothing. We got Smooth C78. We got my girl Sonya in the building.
Now you're saying K Style in here with the baby face. That's why you're saying that. Ant. I mean, K Style looks smooth every once in a while. I mean, K Style is a smooth guy. He got a white girl.
Bullshit.
I'm just messing with you. I'm messing with you.
No, she's transparent. There's a difference.
She's transparent.
But, God damn it, where the fuck was I? Okay. Get back. Yeah, that man messed me up. That messed me up. But only I, Styles, can call her. Nah.
That's my homie. Look, she knows. She knows.
Oh no. Trust me. I've been calling her white girl for almost 20 years. Damn, it'll be almost 20 years. Jesus Christ.
You just now? Oh, never mind.
No. I had to add up the time. I'm looking like.
Okay.
I had time too high. Like, shit. All right. But, like you said, we got Southside 12, Terry Lloyd. We got Dre Murphy, Michael Walker. We got King Quest. And we got the coach in the building. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man. And like I said, man, we got a few things in store for you for the upcoming couple months. Think y'all gonna be surprised. Let's just say it may be some new faces on here that y'all may not be ready for. But What's going on, Mike, man? How we doing this evening? How are we doing this evening? Definitely shout out the coach here. And that conversation we had Tuesday, boy, he put my eyes on the perspective of a lot of things. So, well, that wasn't Tuesday, it was Monday. Mm-hmm. So I get an opportunity to check out the Red Cup Conference on Champagne Confession channel. Y'all definitely make sure y'all do that. But, Mike, how are we doing this evening, man?
Man, I'm good, man. Y'all probably not going to believe me when I say this, but I've been on kind of a spiritual journey. I'm still going to be mad, Mike. Don't worry. All right? There's still a lot of anger left in this body, but... I'm trying to be a nicer person, you know, sometimes.
Well, we're in the day and the age where being nice gets you nowhere.
Yeah. Nah, see, I'm a born a-hole, okay? Born and rich, but, you know, every once in a while, I want to kiss some babies and be a politician, and that's what I'm doing. I'm running for office. I'm trying to be Donald Trump. I'm trying to grab some, you know what, and...
I'm about to say if we can get back to the economy like it was with him, as president, I think we'd be good.
We'll be good. All right. Yeah, that's for sure.
The economy is jacked right now.
Mm-hmm. Everything is screwed up right now.
But we got Reggie C2K in the building. We got Toxic Black just chiming in on here. Like I said, y'all make sure y'all go ahead and hit that like button if you don't mind. And also also share it to your friends, share it to your family, share it to your side chicks,
to your baby mamas,
or maybe some of these junks you out here, y'all out here tricking on. Make sure you share it with them too. But let's see how we're gonna do this. All right, for y'all that did not see the screen beforehand or seen what the show is gonna be tonight, we have two topics for y'all. If you don't know, if you just now catching the stream, these are the two topics we have tonight. We got the Vic Beasley misunderstanding, and can Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark save the WNBA? So, as we already do over here on this show, the topic order is viewer's choice. So, type in one for the Vic Beasley misunderstanding, or type two for Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark in the WNBA to kick off the show. So we're going to let y'all go ahead and put your numbers in. And let's see how y'all want us to start the show off. Southside said, I've shared it with all three of my girlfriends. Hey, I appreciate that, man. Hey, look, make sure, like I said, you got that under control, man. God bless you all.
Ain't no God blessing him. He going to get his ass fucked up. All three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, ain't no if and. It's just a matter of time. You talking about three of them? Yeah, you going to get fucked up.
Yeah. They must have their cycles on different months. Cause if they have better. Cycles,
ooh, Lord, they better.
All right, let's see. We got two, one. All right, now we got about 20 more seconds, y'all. Let's see how y'all going with this. Alright, so it looks like the Vic Beasley conversation has aged out. We're going to go ahead and kick it off with that, man. Hold on, I was supposed to then type this shit in. But I'm gonna tell you why this conversation, I thought about this conversation. It actually came from a point you made last night on the Heavy Hitters live.
Interesting.
So if y'all didn't get a chance to check the Heavy Hitters last night, we made a conversation about the last three sackles, the last three players to get 10 plus sacks for the Atlanta Falcons, which were the latest was Vic Beasley, before that was John Abraham, and before that was Patrick Kearney. Now, Mike, how did you feel about Vic Beasley's tenure here in Atlanta?
Well, I thought he was a lot better than what people gave him credit for. I think one of the things that, you know, to be honest, it's a lot of the people that's in this chat right now, it's y'all fault, the reason why he's gone. I'm pointing the finger right at y'all. A lot of y'all ran him out of town because y'all put him, y'all put a such a big expectation, a level of expectation on the guy that, you know, it's a lot of time it's virtually impossible, to be honest. Like, guys coming out of the NFL, you know, coming out of college to the NFL, a lot of these guys don't end up being superstars. Like, superstars are less than 10% chance of actually having success in the NFL for being a star. I mean, Pro Bowl type player. So it's less than, you know, especially for the quarterback position. I think the quarterback position is less than 20% chance of actually being a good, you know, a quality starter. Not even Pro Bowl, just a quality starter. It's less than 20%. So when you got the quarterback position and you have a defensive end, like defensive end, it's even lower than that, because, you know, we've been trying to, you know, find that guy since Johnny Abraham. I mean, as what, 14 years, 13 years or something like that, about 13 years since Johnny Abraham retired. I mean, since we cut him. So we've been looking for that production for a long time. So you look at Vic Beasley, he did a pretty good job for us. But the problem is Falcons fans wanted more out of him. And it's quite possible that he couldn't give us more. Like, sometimes you can give us what we need. I think they took the wrong. I think what happened to Vic Beasley is fans took their anger and their frustrations out on him.
Well, I'm gonna give you.
And K-Style's gonna explain. K-Style's gonna explain why I'm saying this.
Well, where it came from is, I'm gonna kind of expand on it just a little bit deeper than that. Let me ask you a question, Mike, before I give you that answer. Who it is, like I said, as far as the Atlanta Falcons history, where do you think Vic Beasley, and I'm gonna ask everybody in the chat right now, where do you think Vic Beasley ranks as far as Atlanta Falcons pass rushers with sacks? Where do you think he's ranked in team history?
I wouldn't have guessed to where he was, to be honest. I would have, if I'm being honest with myself, before I've seen the numbers, I would have ranked him somewhere between 15 and 20. Like, that would have been my honest opinion from it.
Okay.
I wouldn't have guessed where he is. Okay. I can tell you that.
So I'm gonna let the people kind of give their guesses on it right now. We got some folks said fourth. Coach says four. Trauma Lot says four. Come on, y'all. We playing the guessing game, man. I'm incorporating y'all into the show.
K-Styles don't want to be playing with himself, y'all.
Exactly. If I do that, I will be off camera. But all right. Let's see. All right, speaking of peace, the question is, where do you think Vic Beasley ranks as far as all-time sacks leaders for the Atlanta Falcons? He said, I don't damn know. All right. So let me list some names off for you right quick.
Let's go.
Number one, it, of course, is Claude Humphrey with 99. We got John Abraham. Oh, yeah, Claude Humphrey in 127 games with 99. John Abraham is number two with 68.5 in 102 games. John Zook is number three with 61 in 98 games. Damn, that's a damn good finish. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that. We got Chuck Smith with 58 in 123 games. Patrick Kearney is behind him with 58 in 121 games. Now this one took me by surprise. Travis Hall is sixth all time with 41 and a half in 134 games. And right behind Travis Hall, we have Vic Beasley with 37.5 in 78 games.
Mm-hmm.
So majority of these guys that's in that top six list have been Falcons for at least 7-8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Vic was only on this team for 4 years. Now, where Mike is kind of coming from is really coming from that 15 and a half sack season that he had in 2016, where he led the league in sacks. So the bar from going from the rookie year to 15, it was like, okay, now 15 is the bar. 15 is where you need to be every year from here on out. And then we knew Vic Beasley wasn't polished as a pass rusher. He wasn't the most technically sound guy. Oh, my bad. I got caught up in the chat. Whatchamacallit said, Southside said, those records must be busted because I didn't hear you say Dante Fowler's name. Well, get the out of here.
And I'm about to time you your ass up right about this.
Nah, but as you know, as sports fans, when you see a guy hit an accomplishment like that, where they lead the league in sacks, you want to at least see them get close to it. Uh-huh. And we kind of felt like, as fans, he underperformed after that year because uh-huh. It was like after that it was five sacks. And then the very last year, it was 8 sacks. But I can't be one of the ones to say that I was disappointed that he didn't be able to reach that plateau. But then I had to go back and look at it and say, and this is the question that I'm going to ask you, Mike. Do you believe that Dan Quinn, the defensive coach guru, Dan Quinn, took him out of his natural role as being a situational pass rusher and tried to make him into a Croy Bierman type edge player? Do you think that is the reason why Vic Beasley was never able to achieve that or get close to that peak in 2016?
The answer is yes. The long answer is maybe. The short answer is yes, I think he did experiment a bit too much, but I don't blame him for experimenting. Vic Beasley did have the ability to play in coverage, to play, you know, both left and right side of the D-line. You can do different things. So the vision that we see with a Micah Parsons, it was exactly what he was planning to do with Big Vision. The problem is, we had a big dummy, you big dummy, as a general manager that didn't allow him to put the necessary pieces around Vic Beasley. I think one of the biggest mistakes the Falcons ever did was allowing Rashid Hageman to walk away. When Rashid Hageman, when you have a special player like that, you have to have two big bodies around these guys. On the field, no matter what, to protect these guys, because he's an exceptional athlete. So essentially, with a guy like a Bill Belichick, for example, these guys, what he gonna do? He gonna put a bunch of big bodies around his guy. Just kind of how he took away Vic Beasley in the Super Bowl. All he did was put a tight end to make sure he was constantly chipping him, and sometimes he put a right tackle next to Vic Beasley and say, "Look, you're not doing anything." So he's going to have a tight end to chip. You're going to have a tackle. And you're going to have a running back to make sure he's right there. So Vic Beasley never really had the time to sit back and say, all right, get after the quarterback. So when you don't have those big bodies, and I know Coach is probably shaking his head vigorously right now. When you don't have those big bodies around him to let him do his thing, i.e., Aaron Donald always had that big body in the middle next to him to allow him to do whatever he needed to do. So the short answer is yes, he experimented with it, but the long answer is no, because we had a big idiot as a general manager that didn't allow Scott Pioli to impart his vision for the, because he was just supposed to focus on the offense, Thomas Dimitrov. They brought Scott Pioli to help build the defense and put the pieces around Vic Beasley. That's why Scott Pioli left, because he was fighting for power with. So yeah. Okay. And it's nothing wrong with putting Vic Beasley in coverage. He's very good in coverage. He's very good at that. He was very good at it. The problem is, when you don't have other pass rushers and other players, it looks real dumb, because you know, you got your best pass rusher in coverage. So it was kind of handicapped. I'm not going to blame it all on Dan Quinn. You know, the only thing I blame on Dan Quinn is that cover three shit. That's the only thing I blame.
Man, I say like you said, you won't put necessarily all the blame on Dan Quinn. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll put mostly it on. I ain't going to say 90% on him. I'll say about 60, about 65, because the one thing, the lasting memory that a lot of Falcon fans have as far as Vic Beasley is, they kind of feel like, if we've all seen it and we've all probably thought it, that he lost his passion for the game the last couple of years he was here. And one thing that I did notice when I looked at the numbers, like I said, and I think you said it right before I gave the numbers, that like you said, 4 sacks, 15 and a half, 5, 5, and 8. Now, the 2 years that he had 8-plus sacks were the 2 years where he was predominantly a situational rusher. Mm-hmm. Which was a formula for him that suited what he does. Because like you said, he wasn't the biggest guy. He wasn't a big guy. He was about 240, about 237. So he wasn't a big dude at all. But the thing about it was, the role that he had was the role that worked for him. Mm-hmm. And I think dropping him into coverage, even though you may say that he was exceptional in coverage, I don't think that was the right role for him. And to be honest with you, I don't really think they ran the correct defense. They didn't really run the type of defense where you could afford to have a Vic Beasley in coverage and rush.
The players to do that. It wasn't necessary because he was good at doing it. It's dumb because you don't have the players to run that type of defense. That's the thing. You got to have the right personnel in order to make it work. And that's why it was ignorant, because it wasn't the right role for him, because he was the best fast edge on that on a team outside of Grady here. So it didn't make sense.
Right. Right. So that's why I said situational wise, it was best suited for him. Like you said, it didn't make sense to me, but and I think you made a key point too. Once Dwight Freeney was gone, once Jonathan Babineau was gone, once they got rid of Rashid Hagman, which was a lot of your veteran guys, you really didn't have that voice. Because remember, Grady was still a young guy too. But like you said, this is where the big difference comes in certain, when we talk about player personalities and how people differentiate from each other. Certain players need certain type of veterans around them to help keep, I ain't gonna say keep motivated, but it's more so as something to learn and run off of.
Mm-hmm. Everybody have their different ways of being the motive, being a leader. Like I said, K Styles is a better host than I am. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I've been doing it longer, but I know where my strength lies. My strength lies exactly what I do. You know, he knows how to say the right thing to get people to speak, you know, and open up. Sometimes I'm kind of guarded in that. So it's like, that's the thing with players and the coaches. The coaches have to find a way to kind of put that person in that particular spot where they can shine. And I think that's where the Atlanta Falcons and Dan Quinn, they went wrong. They tried to force people to be leaders, and they're not natural leaders.
Right. Hold on, wait a minute, what the hell? Hold on, never mind. I was looking at something else. I was like, wait a minute, where them years go? Now I forgot the advanced analytics only show the coverage side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, we got a couple more people in here, man. About whatever, what's good, man? Vincent Moore, Game Bread Monk. Appreciate you coming in. So let me ask the people a question. And do y'all believe that if Vic Beasley was put, if the Falcons ran the type of defense as we already know, the 34 defense, or 3-4 as most people call it, do you think that he would have been more successful, even especially when he came into the draft as quote unquote a 3-4 outside linebacker? Wavy two times, what's going on, man?
Honestly, I think Vic B was making $100 million today. Are you playing right now?
Hmm. Mr. Tossin Blast said he was a hooper. He loved basketball more than he was a football guy. He's a guy who had talent to get to the league, but he really didn't care in reality.
No, that's not true at all. Sometimes teams can really kill your motivation and your passion for games because they're not using you right. You see this a lot of times, even in the NBA. Guys are not put in the right position to succeed. That's why guys like Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, they start off slower. Like when Shaq went to LA, he turned into one of the most dominant center to ever play the game because Orlando wasn't using him correctly. Same thing with Kobe. Kobe, he wasn't used correct under Dale here. So it's like once you find that right coach and you find what he's good at, it's up to the coach to put you in the right position to succeed. I mean, not everybody end up like I said, not everybody end up with the right coaching. That's why you have certain players who show signs of success later on their career, because they finally find what they're good at and their coach finally puts them in a position to succeed, i.e. Tom Brady. He's a perfect example. I mean, Joe Montana, those guys find themselves late. Steve Young, I keep going on and on and on and on.
Okay. So my final question on this topic before we go ahead and move to the second topic of the night. And then after the second topic, before we have the second topic, I'm going to have what we call a 10-minute segment of, we call it the cool down segment. So my final question is going to be, I'm going to ask the people watching. Was Vic Beasley put in the wrong mindset as far as, No. Time out. Rewind. Okay. Have we all misunderstood Vic Beasley?
I don't think they kid. They just wanted him gone because they wanted something better. So I don't even think they tried to understand Vic. I'ma just be real. It's y'all fault. A lot of y'all fans just wanted him gone because they just wanted Von Miller out of him because there was a comparison. It was too, y'all put way too much on this guy. Like once you put a label on a guy, like it's difficult for him to live up to that. Everybody thought he was going to be the next Von Miller. There's only one Von Miller. There's only one Lawrence Taylor. So when you put these labels on these guys and they don't live up to them, we say, yeah, he trash. Vic wasn't trash. He was a quality pass rusher. A lot of these guys that they get paid $15 million just for being a quality pass rusher. We literally just saw one traded to the Jets with the Eagles. Anybody know his name? Yeah. You know who I'm talking about?
Enlighten me, Mike.
The guy that was in our, Hassan Reddick.
Okay.
Quality pass rusher. That's what he is. He's going to get paid from $12 to $15 million a year. That's what Vic Beasley was. If you take Hassan Reddick outside, off the field, if you put him on the field and say, all right, stop the run, he's not a very good run stopper. He's bad at it. But you say, all right, we got a rotation of guys. Get after quarterback, like you was saying earlier, Vic Beasley could have easily been that. But they wanted to turn him into an every down. And the thing is, with even Von Miller had a lot. Like, he had one of the greatest defensive guys in
DeMarcus Ware.
Like, they had DeMarcus Ware on the opposite side. The other two big – Tackles,
Walker. I want to say Malik Brown, but I know you're talking about, and it was like Derek Wolfe.
So he had quality defensive linemen around him. So it's not like, all right, Von Miller was the only answer. He had quality defensive guys around him. So it's like y'all want him to live up to that particular act, but you're not looking at what Von Miller, he had one of the best defensive coaches in the league at the time. You know what I'm saying? It's like that team was loaded, bro. Right. So again, this is why I say fans pushed the Atlanta Falcons to make that decision and saying, you know what? We're not going to pay him. Because that, I'm going to be honest, that's the only Malik Jackson. But like, that's the only reason why we get it.
appreciate that. We was in the ballpark somewhere.
I was like, I want to be Malik Walker. I know that wasn't the right name, but.
Yeah. But go ahead, Mike.
But the Falcons fans, y'all complained, y'all booed him on the field. Like every time he was on the field, every time he's on the sideline, y'all was saying stuff to him. When he was giving us, he was one of the main sack guys. Even him and Grady was the main two sack guys because we weren't getting quality crap out of them. Yeah, we weren't even getting dog poop. Look, we were getting squirrel poop from him. Okay, the little strand of shit you can get. That's exactly what he was giving us. He wasn't giving us crap. But we complained and we ran him out of town and tried to pay Dante Fowler, and that ended up, you know, blowing up in our face because the fans shipped. They helped the Atlanta Falcons get out. Yeah, man. I'm on the fan. I'm like, bro, because he was a quality guy. We could have paid him $10 million just to be a rotation guy. We didn't want to do that because y'all, like, Falcons could have easily gave him $7 to $10 million and say, all right, you're not a starter, but we still see something in you. They didn't want to do that because the fans turned on him.
Yeah, because it's very interesting that we haven't had a Falcons rusher even get 8 sacks since.
Bro, that's crazy.
Right. I'm talking about individually, y'all.
Yeah, individually, yeah.
But this is what we talk about, that the trenches do matter. Like one player is only going to be as good as the team around him, but then also it also going to have to take that player to be able to take that team around him and incorporate his game. And I highlighted this because when we had the conversation about Dallas Turner about the last week or so, it was quite a few Falcon fans was comparing Dallas Turner to Von Miller, but they had a feeling like, and this is why certain people are not, they're kind of skeptical on the Dallas Turner thing, on the Dallas Turner pick, because of the PTSD of what we of Vic Beasley.
I think
like I was saying, that's where the misunderstanding of it is. But this is where I will say that if they go Dallas Turner with that pick, you actually have the right coach that has the right mindset with the of putting the right pieces that can help this guy flourish. Like you said, when you think about the defensive line, but they still need another defensive lineman. They still need another, like, inside guy. But I think they have enough of the pieces to where, starting off, Dallas Turner could be more so of that situational rusher until he able to get the confidence to do something else.
Exactly. Do it the right way.
The right way. So this is why Dallas Turner to Atlanta, this is why it's picking up a lot of steam, because they see the physical gifts. And just like when we saw with Vic Beasley had the physical gifts. But consistently, it wasn't put out. It wasn't put in the right position. If they get a guy like Dallas Turner, who is a guy that may not be as polished as a Jared Verse, who may not be as polished as a Latu. You put the guy in the right position, you give the right responsibilities and let him build off of that and build the confidence off that. That's where the special pass rushers come from. Because if you look at Pittsburgh with J.J. Watt, I mean, not T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt was an undersized guy, too.
Undersized, yeah. But they put him in a position where he only has to do what he does well.
Right. So, Falcon fan said Marlon Davidson. Think about 2016. God damn, I was supposed to go to man, we kind of heating up on this. So damn the cool time. We're gonna get straight to the WNBA topic after this.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it, in 2016, you had Grady Jarrett, Courtney Upshaw, Dwight Freeney, Jonathan Babineau, Tyson Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Rashid Hageman.
Goddamn, who am I leaving out? I said Jonathan Babineau. Adrian Claiborne.
Mm-hmm.
You literally had an 8 to 9 man rotation on your defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all effective at the roles they had. We haven't had that since.
Yeah, Claiborne got hurt.
And Brooks Reed, that's 10.
Yeah. You had a 10-man rotation to get after the quarterback. And that's why I say I Falcons fans are looking for a guy that's special. Yeah, but if you do it correctly, you can rotate guys and have the same amount of sacks.
Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this to say this as well. This is where I'm gonna kind of piss folks off with this. This is the reason why the Falcons didn't go after a guy like Lamar Jackson. Because if you build it and you have the money to build it and you have the resources to put behind a defensive line, and you still have your picks to be able to build that, now you're building a unit. You didn't go after the player and then don't have the resources to build the unit. You built the unit first, and now you can add that one player you may think is special. So, Falcon fans, if we want Dallas Turner here, they got to continue to build on them trenches. They got to, like you said, and they have to be consistent too.
Mm-hmm. Got to keep adding pieces around.
So, hey, man, like I said, hey, we got 68 people in here right now. Make sure y'all go ahead and, like I said, hit that like button. Share the stream tonight. Like I said, if you haven't subscribed to the Six Man Convo, definitely make sure you go ahead and do that. That'd be highly appreciative. If you hit the notification button, make sure you notify to hit all.
All. So you will not get every update. All right. So make sure you hit all on it. It's, mm-hmm. it's defaulted to sometimes. So that's why a lot of you are not getting all the updates, because it's defaulted. Make sure you hit the all.
Exactly. As we about to go into the final topic tonight, Mike, you want to go ahead and read some of these comments right quick while I get this set up for me? You want to go ahead?
They don't need no damn comments. Don't nobody care nothing about them, Otis, all right?
God damn it. Hey, I care, god damn it.
Why? It was Claiborne who got the 6 sacks against Cowboys, and again he got that sack because they could not. He got those sacks because they couldn't double team. We had guys like Grady Jarrett, like we had a solid rotation of guys there. So when you have a solid rotation of guys, that's where if you look at the Eagles, they had the same formula. They just had a solid rotation of guys that could get after the quarterback and beat their guys one-on-one to, to get sacked. They didn't rely solely on one guy. That's why they end up trading, ultimately Street and now Hassan Reddick.
Right. So, hey man, as our boy Jew would always say, build the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
the trenches matter. Because you don't want to be getting one of these pass rushers out the draft and then have no damn help in the middle or have no rotation.
And they end up getting triple team like Grady Jarrett in the middle.
That boy Grady Jarrett said, "Damn, are y'all gonna block anybody else?" They said, "Nope." You know how disrespectful of a unit of a defensive line you had to be, where you had three offensive linemen tell Grady Jarrett, "Man, we ain't worried about everybody else. We just blocking you."
Oh, that's what happened to the Hawks last night. All they were doing is man, everybody up here talking about, man, we need to trade, and we need to trade DeJounte. The whole goddamn Bulls lineup was lined up against them. They weren't worried about nobody else on that court. And y'all talk about trade, and trade DeJounte. No, you need to trade that piece of crap they got on the court.
Oh, man, that's actually a good topic of discussion, because I got something controversial I'll say about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Look. I'll give you a sneak peek. Hell, trade both of them away. How about that?
A lot of people. See, I know why you saying that, because people, they not appreciative of shit anyway. So look, if y'all think it's. If you think one of those guys are the problem, you know, trade away both of them. You see how good you really had it.
That's what I'm saying. Trade away both of them. But y'all gonna have that. We gonna have that discussion later.
Oh, we definitely gonna get that one. You gonna intrigue me now.
But let's go ahead and get to the second topic of the night, y'all. Let's see. We got about another 30 minutes. I do another 30 minutes. Let's go ahead and set this up, y'all. Now, as we already know, and we've heard the ladies from Champagne Confessions talk about it, we've seen the boy the boy from the Loch Ness podcast got them talk about it. It's been all over the globe. Sam talked about it. But the WNBA draft has just recently passed, and we've already kind of seen where the destinations of some of these players, well, some of the notable players, like you said, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Camila Cardoza. But there's been a big controversy. There's been a lot of backlash behind the salaries of the WNBA players coming into the draft, i.e. Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark. And a lot of people were looking at the numbers and were saying, well, Caitlin Clark, almost got tongue-tied there, is getting a $300,000 contract as the number one overall pick. And there's a lot of people that are saying that, how can you pay your top stars so little money? Now, Mike, here's your question. Do you think the names of Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Camila Cardoza, can these women be the ones that can help get those eyes on these WNBA games?
I don't. Well, I think they're going to get eyes on the WNBA for the wrong reasons. I don't think it's going to be positive. You already see they're already divided. You got these We got these old, this decrepit ass women in the WNBA that, you know, they only focus on how things used to be, and they are reluctant to change with the times, and they just giving these women, like, they getting off. Even the women that's still there, like Skylar Diggins, she's one of those women that have been out, you know, kind of outcasted and black sheep, along with Liz Cambage. It's like, you look at them, they have what we call, you know, the new school attitude on how just sports and the media is today. That's just the way it is. And I don't think these women are going to do it for the right reasons. Now, they can do it for all the wrong reasons. They're going to bring attention to the WNBA. So if you want attention and you don't care the type of attention, yes, they can. But I don't think they are going to be the women that's going to do it for the right reasons. They're going to bring attention to the WNBA for the wrong reasons. And we see it right now. Pretty much why are we even talking about it is because of the wrong reasons, not the right reasons. We're not celebrating how good they are. We're not celebrating these two women, you know, being champions. We're not celebrating any of that. We're not celebrating Caitlin being the all-time scoring leader in women's basketball. Like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the negative thing. So they're going to bring attention, but only for the wrong reason.
Now, the reason why I asked that question, too, is because this is why I said this is one of the major reasons why the WNBA has been struggling for a very long time as far as building up money and revenue and stuff like that, is because the core audience that they're trying to cater to, which is supposed to be the women and the young girls and stuff like that, they're not. That the one thing is, the core audience isn't watching, is that they're catering to is not watching it. And the other thing is, you have a lot of these big wig type of folks, the people that's in marketing, they're not really marketing the stars like that. Because for what we've seen, especially with women's basketball, we've seen folks will watch women's basketball. We see it with the, like I said, I know for me, I don't even really watch men's college basketball like that really until the March Madness tournament. Right. So I might be one of the few that maybe watch college basketball right at tournament time.
Yeah.
But tournament time is where a lot of eyes get caught on, and then we get gravitated towards these stories, these stories of these players and seeing these players go on these runs and stuff. But the thing about it is where the WNBA is struggling, they have struggled to consistently market their stars, especially the younger stars like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how short attention span a lot of us is nowadays. We want that instant gratification right then and there. We want to be made feel good on why we need to watch this. So remember, Major League Baseball had an issue about marketing their young stars until you started bringing certain stars in here. And now people are starting to talk more about them. And what I mean by that is, when you think about Mike Trout, like I said, even as good as he was,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't getting the marketing like that. But boy, mm-hmm. once you brought in Ronald Acuna Jr., Tatis Jr., Shohei Ohtani, like I said, now you see the Major League Baseball marketing the players a lot more, and now you're getting more eyes.
That's what happened with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the new exciting guy, along with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. When those guys were drafted, they was like, oh, wow. these guys are spectacular. The fans and the people love their game, so they start to market the Bird. They start marketing Magic and Jordan and Dominique Wilkins because that's what the fans want. So it's like the problem with the WNBA. I'm gonna just be real. I don't like being sugarcoating. We got a bunch of old decrepit ass biatches that don't want to understand the daytime is over. Bitch, your time is done. You are great. Sue Bird, you're one of the greatest of all time. Get your ass out the way and let somebody get in there and run it like it needs to be ran. Dionysus Rossi, you're a legend. You got nothing else to prove. Let these women do their thing. Maybe because you don't like modeling, they shouldn't model. Like, this is what they want to do. You got to be able to adjust with the times, and that's what the fuck wrong with the WNBA. We got the old ass bitches, and that's what they are, because that's what they acting like. They complain about every little aspect. Oh, I don't like this, and Caitlin Clark ain't this good because she ain't came to the WNBA. How the fuck do you know? She ain't played a game, and y'all already saying this ain't what it is. That's what it is. We got a bunch of old motherfuckers that still talking about what they did in their day, and they want to play this slow. They want to play this slow 1970s style of basketball. Nobody want to see that shit, and that's just the honest. That's the honest fucking truth. Get these old ass players out of the damn way, because it's old players that want to keep things the way it is. Like, to be honest, there's only one female that I can say right now to understand that this is the way the game is, and that's Candace Parker. She's the only one that understands the game needs to be faster with the WNBA. They can play faster. But we got the Diana Taurasi that want to slow it down, and just do whatever the hell they want to do because that's what they want to see.
Hey, Mike, before you finish. You remember them old basketball clips where you see the black and white clips of everybody being fast?
Everybody dribbling with one hand. Dribbling with one hand and then they pick it up and throw it to the next person. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking.
Nah, but I want to highlight this comment because I don't know if you know Mike. Sonya Ashley was a basketball player growing up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So she said, when the WNBA first started and marketed players based off the 96 Olympics, mm-hmm. my favorite player was Lisa Leslie growing up.
Mm-hmm. Mine too. Yep. I love some Lisa Leslie, boy. I was in love with her too. I was in love with Lisa Leslie. I was.
Hey, look, I was a Dawn Staley fan. Like I said, shouts out to her.
Oh, yeah.
Dawn Staley. Like when we look at that 90s that Olympic team with Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops,
mm-hmm.
Like you said, Dawn Staley, Rebecca Lobo, yeah. Like I said, that was the pinnacle of, like you said, of showing up like women can play ball in the United States, and like you said. That's what the market for the WNBA was. But the problem was a lot of those women that was on that team that started off in the WNBA were already veterans of the game. So mm-hmm. they didn't really play as long.
Mm-hmm.
But that.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, Shamika Holzclaw. Teresa Witherspoon.
Tina Thompson. Yeah. See, I was going to say something about, but I'm going to leave Tina alone.
Don't go there. Everybody was thinking it, but we ain't finna go there.
I'm not going there.
And look, Coach said, and plus girly girls are coming in.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Like, let these women be who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, like I said, now you coming into an era, like you said, now you're coming into this era, and it's been going on for at least a few years, it's been going on for quite a while, where, like I said, and I'm just going off the aesthetics of the WNBA right now. Majority of the people that looked at the WNBA thought it was a bunch of butchy looking females.
I've always been attracted to tomboys, so that like that.
No. These was some butchy bulldog looking. that's what I'm saying. So wow. that was the aesthetic of it.
Yeah, you're right.
Like I said, I don't give a damn. I just want to know if you can play ball or not.
But the thing
about it is now, like over the past few years now you got a lot of these female basketball players that also model, and they're also getting sponsorships off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's slowly getting towards that where social media is now intertwined with these ladies' basketball careers, because let's just be honest with you. They're not going to make the money that people think they deserve they're going to make, because the league doesn't make money.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA been paying the WNBA since it started to keep the league afloat.
Listen, because they don't want to, again, I don't even think that the WNBA is not making money. The thing is, I don't think they want to grow the product the way that they want, and they want to do things on their terms without the NBA's help. And that's just right. A whole business plan. You Why? Need help.
Why?
Nothing wrong with that. ABA and the NBA can join together to make to what we see today. Overseas, you know, FIBA, like all these organizations join together to make the product that we see today. Right. With the CFL, the USFL, the NFL, the AFL, all these organizations can join together, but we got these dumb idiots, and these some freaking idiots that control the WNBA and they're in charge, and they want to just do everything on their terms and all. Look, it's never going to work. It's never going to work if you don't get other ideas. You have to get a pulse on what the people like. You have to. That's how you be successful. Figure out what the people like and do more of that. You don't have, you can still keep the old school feel to it, but you gotta get with the times. It's just simple as that.
You gotta get with the times. And it's kind of like politics. It's kind of like the motherfuckers up in Congress and the Senate and stuff like that. You got a bunch of old motherfuckers that think one way and won't let it go.
Mm-mm. 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 They will not.
And the thing about it is, and then like you said, when we look at it, then, like I said, if you look at the players that's coming in now, Ryan Howard, like mm-hmm. you said, and you seeing
she can play
through these girls, and like you said, and right now, women's basketball is actually about to come into a peak where you about to have a lot of good players coming out of college. When Juju Watkins come out, that motherfucker is going to be a problem.
If you believe that the WNBA don't make money, you are a fool. They make money. No organization is going to last 10 plus years without making no money. They're making money. The problem is they don't market the game the way it needs to be. And it's not as much as they should be making.
I'm gonna say it like this. The problem with the WNBA is, like you said, yeah, they make money, but the problem is they've always been in the red for a very long time. So as far as money wise, they'll make some money, but they're not gonna make enough money to where, like you said, they could be self-sufficient by themselves. They have to rely on the NBA.
Yes, because you're on the red because you don't market it. If people don't know that it's on TV, how are you going to make money? So it's not the fact that they're not making money. They don't want to make money because they want to keep that money coming in from the NBA and from their sponsors and things of that nature. So they're not making money because the game is bad. They're not making money because they don't want the game to grow. They want to keep it the way it is because they know that the NBA, they know that their sponsors are going to always put their money into them. So they're not growing the game. the difference with the NFL, the difference with baseball, the difference with the NBA is they make extra money. They make extra money. You make extra money by marketing it properly.
Right. So in all reality, the WNBA problem, the WNBA problem is if you don't market your players, and like I said, they ain't got no excuse. Like this time, they really have no excuses anymore.
No excuse.
You literally got two of the most talked about female basketball players that we've seen since Maya Moore came out.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Maya Moore. Oh Lord.
That was my baby right there. I don't care what nobody said. Maya Moore was my baby right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was the look. And I'm a Carmelo Anthony fan. I was a Carmelo Anthony fan.
Mm-hmm.
Maya Moore played exactly like Carmelo.
Mm-hmm.
She was $2. She was that's why they were so happy she retired, because the Minnesota Lynx was dominating everybody. Maya Moore and Simone Augustus were two of the reasons why they were doing it. Yep. See, I didn't think we knew about
it. Yeah, y'all think I'm crazy. They found it out now.
But hold on. I was looking at a comment and I spaced out for a second. The comment wasn't bad, but I kind of just spaced out for no reason.
You had a mad mic moment, that's all.
Yeah. Lindsay Whalen, yeah, she definitely was a baller. And that's one of the major reasons why they had Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu.
Mm-hmm.
That 3-point contest thing during All Star, because they're trying to find ways to market it to everybody. Mm-hmm. That's why you see the WNBA licenses on these NBA 2K games. They trying to find the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is you can do it. But you're doing it, and where he's coming from is, you're advertising them. You're using the NBA to advertise them. But you're not making the conscientious effort of trying to do it yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But like you say, it's going to be an interesting year. But the fact that Camilla and Angel was on the same team after the battle they had in the tournament. Boy, she was so happy. She like, oh yeah, I get to play with her. I'm not trying to body her big ass no more.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Camilla is a big girl. That's a big girl right there.
I mean, Camilla, like the fact you got women like Doris Burke, like one of the best analysts there is. I don't even know why you're not paying her $50 million to call your games. Like, she works for ESPN. Like, you have so many great women that's right there. That, like, if you just pay them properly, they will play. They will work with you. But like I said, a lot of this is just the WNBA. They're not trying to involve the game. They don't care.
And one more thing, and this is gonna be the last thing you speak on, because we're about to get off here in a second. The major thing that the WNBA this is one of the major reasons why nobody's really fucking with them like that. They need to stop trying to be social justice warriors and be a basketball.
See, they're picking.
That's the biggest problem right there. Yeah, they trying so hard to be a social justice reform league instead of just being a basketball league, that you turn away audiences like that. Because the thing about with sports, I'm gonna say this about sports. The one good thing about sports is you're gonna have a lot of different personalities that watch these sports. You may have some folks that may believe in this. You got some folks that may have beliefs in that. You got folks that may not like folks like that. You may have folks that, but the thing about sports is you can put that aside and enjoy the product that you're watching.
It's an escape for people from reality. We don't want to think about you know, social justice issues when I'm watching the Falcons game. You know what I'm saying? I don't care nothing about that. I don't care about politics when I'm watching the game. Like, I don't care nothing about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but like you said, that's the thing. That is the thing, though. Like you said, if you try to get away from trying to be political, and be all social justice-ly,
man, let's be real. Ain't nobody tell that dumb broad to go to Russia with a damn vape pen. That's her damn fault.
That was her fault because that's actually that was actually. That's actually a law in Russia. Like,
that's a law. And
she knew that because she's been playing in Russia for like 6 or 7. It was like about 6-7 years she was playing in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
You quit one day to bring that, and that's how she got taught. That's actually a law in Russia. So, like you said, I know people were like free Brittany Griner, or it was like, oh, that was unfair. They did that to her, but. That's the one thing about traveling to other countries. You got to look up the laws. You got to know these type of laws, because if you're thinking that you're going to go to these other countries thinking that, oh, just because I'm a citizen of the United States of America, I can get away with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
No, that's not how it works.
It's not how the world works. When you go to somebody's house, you respect the rules of that person's house. You don't put your feet on somebody else's couch,
uh-huh.
and get mad at them for them asking you to get your feet off the couch. But like I said, until they stop the social justice warrior work shit like that, the WNBA will never reach that point where people are going to be watching. Until they start advertising players the way they need to be advertised, ain't nobody gonna watch the WNBA.
Uh-huh.
I ain't gonna say nobody, but it ain't gonna be as many people as you think.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that in the entire world, I think that's in the entire world, I think it's like 55% to 65%. No. It's like 52% of the world's population are women.
Women, yeah.
But you're not marketing the WNBA to all women.
Yeah. It's a certain percentage of women that you want to market to. And that's the
problem. And y'all know, and we already know what that is, so we're not going to go too much.
Yeah, we ain't going to get on that. We ain't get on that. I got no problem.
But we're going to go ahead and wind the show down for tonight. I thought the conversation tonight was very good, interesting. I know it wasn't the Atlanta Falcons draft talk type of thing y'all want to talk. We've been talking draft talk for the last 3 weeks. I thought we could catch a break on something, especially with the draft being next week.
Yeah.
And like I said, this is definitely the direction that the six-man convo is definitely going to be on. Like I said, we're going to start hitting topics like this that's maybe outside of Falcons,
mm-hmm.
Other sports.
Let us know, man.
Let us know, man. So like I said, as you're about to go off right now, I want everybody to let me know. This format, Falcons Talk, other sports topics. Is this something that you want to see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as we coming off, I'm asking the question. Yeah, I'll let y'all answer the question before we get off. So this is what we're talking. This is what we're talking about. We're content creators that are Falcon fans and have Falcons discussions. Because I can't have three or four streams in a row talking about the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Where you have a percentage of, of people, all they want to do is talk about the quarterback position every damn show. Have you noticed that since we haven't been talking about quarterbacks like that, it's been certain people that haven't showed up. Have you noticed that?
Where they at though?
Nowhere to be found. But yeah. Cause I think people deserve that little breather from Falcons for 2.5 hours, split it up, give them something else interesting. So got a couple people that say they like it.
Okay.
Because these are definitely conversations that have to be had. It kind of keeps me refreshed in a way, because like I said, you're not bombarding. We've talked, bombarding with it. And the thing about it, people keep asking the same questions. What are we going to do at quarterback? What are we going to do at quarterback? What are we going to do at quarterback? The world's about to end. Let's say a solar comet is about to hit the earth. What quarterback we going to have to stop the comet? Get the fuck out of here. So till next time, y'all, like I said, y'all make sure y'all go ahead and continue to support the channel. Not only the channel, but support the family. Like you said, make sure you go ahead and follow Atlanta Falcon Nation. Make sure you show love to Coach. Make sure you show love to OG Sam. Ty over there at the Loch Ness Podcast. Big Wheel, everything Atlanta Sports. Utah Sports, What's the Word, Dirty Bird. We got the Lady Birds at AFN. They coming right back after the draft. Hey, man. Truth TV. That my boy Big Chauncey. And Bad Mike Sports, your boy Six Man K Style, also the Therapist ATL.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey man, I'm loving it. And I'm glad y'all fucking with us. So, till next time, people, we ain't here to play.
Oh no.
We here to stay.
Oh yeah, dig it.
Ain't gotta go home.
But you got to get the hell out of here. Ooh, yeah. Deuces.
And remember, people, in order to have a hero, you need a villain. Be the villain, not the fool. Deuces. Sorry, I'm gonna talk to you sometime later in the next few days. Got some discussion things we gotta talk about. Deuces.